Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
We stand on the stage. I feel so far away. It's a kunda. We stand right there in front so I can touch the people. But I'll just pretend there's some people sitting here. It's awesome to be here this morning with you guys. Philip is a very good leader, let me tell you that. It's very easy when you have a great responsibility as a pastor in a town and you get a lot of encouragement and motivation from your senior. So, Philip, I just want to honor you. You and Janetta, always when you on our side. I still remember just the one day you guys came with all the families, just sat us down, and we had some awesome family time. You always leave something for us. And, yeah, just thanks for motivating me and allowing me to be free and vault and all those things. Always the wind behind me and not against me, and I really appreciate that. A while back, you get funny stuff in church. I don't know who of you have been in church for longer than 10 years. Can I get an indication? Okay. Like committed and all right. Like the other day, we had two moms shouting at one another in church because the one kid bit the other one or something like that. I don't think... the weird thing is the one mom said that they don't want to come to our church anymore because the way our members react. But the other mom was not a member at both visitors. And it's funny stuff that happens in church. I received a very long letter from someone in church because there was some other event that happened, but the champion of the event spelled his name wrong, you know. And so I got a bit of hate mail because of that. Church is an interesting place. A great event that happened in our church a few years back is that a single lady that was a leader in our church spanked another mom's toddler because the boy had his hand in the chocolate cake at the back of church. But, you know, these are the things that happens in church. And I just love a church. I just feel at home in a place like that. Because if I think about it, even these examples, I see myself there, you know, making those kind of mistakes, messing up. And I just love a church. And I can deal with those kind of things. I also think, ask myself, you know, why can Christ be so committed to church? And I think it's because he is so involved in the cleansing and the beautifying of his church, and he sees what she will become when he comes back one day. Where do you position yourself in the church and her purity? Are you in for the long run? That's my question. 10 years is only the start. I've been in Shofar now since 2003 when I met Philip. I got baptized the day before I went to first year's camp. God just knew he had to save me before I go to Stellenbosch for the sake of me and the rest of the campus, not afterwards. And so I got baptized. I did the very first foundations back then. Encounters was called foundations. I did them 1, 2, 3, 4 in a row and went on missions. And I've never left God's house since then. And I've experienced some of these bad things in my life, and I've been the center of some of the katakwaad and nonsense that happened around church. And I'm just grateful that nobody has kicked me out up till now. So thank you for also bearing with me, everyone. We've got a great family, amen? But it's okay if a family have chaotic members, chaotic moments. My home, have a lot of chaotic moments, and at the moment it's got to do with potty training, so I'm not going to be too visual about it. But when you have these moments I just mentioned, sometimes the only thing that needs to happen is a father needs to step in and say, okay, don't worry, let's do this, 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 and then a family can function again. You know what I'm saying? I want to talk today a bit about fatherhood, and it's a bit of a weird topic because it's not like I've been in the church for 30 or 40 years, but let me just quickly explain what I mean by this. We, at the moment, working quite deeply through sonship and God's family and trying to align our hearts in Secunda to be in God's home for a long run, all the way to the end. And what I've realized is that for the church to function in the midst of these chaos moments that happens, there needs to be fathers. And this is not gender specific, okay? Being a son of God is also not gender specific. A son is an heir, okay? Both male and female inherits eternal life and gets gifts from God. So please just take gender out of the equation when I maybe use the word son or being a father. But we need men and women, or those fathers, to step into those moments. Just say, don't worry, I'm here. And this family is going to be okay. Amen? I just want to pray before I go on. Father, I want to thank you just for this moment. Thank you for this church. And that you are placing stones in this house for the long run, Lord. Where many lives will be touched. Where many spiritual children will grow to become young men and women and then move on to become father figures, to become leaders and making many disciples. We just give this moment to you this morning. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 15, for though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. I became your father in Christ, in Jesus, through the gospel. Now, when I think about this, what qualifies me to talk on this? Because I am kind of still a young guy. Let me tell you what, at the moment, this process is working in my life. I'm going through the process of being molded into a father figure for many. And in my church, I'm almost the oldest person there. So by default, I'm a father figure. And a lot of us, we're growing. We realize we need to grow into men and women that can be ready to walk a road with young believers. And today, if you are new in the church 1 week here, don't check out, because God wants to use you, wants to grow you to be a maker of disciple, to be a father figure. And so I want to talk today about these barriers, these obstacles you will face inevitably in moving from being a young believer to a father where God gives people into your care. Now, this is definitely not everything on this topic, but it's stuff God is showing me at the moment, and I want to just share with you, and I want to just encourage you to allow God to work in your life on the journey you're on. Amen? Just read with me 1 John 2. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And then he basically repeats it in verse 14 as well. So he says there's his children in the faith, the young believers. He mentions the fathers that knows God. And then he says the young men, the young women, who is the overcomers. Now, inevitably, there is things the young men and the young woman needs to overcome to move on to being fathers, being leaders. If you've been around here for a month or two or three, you're finding your feet, you're getting to know God, you're getting to know church, let me tell you what, there will be a few tests on your road that you will have to pass. Bible speaks of overcoming, which will build into you the character of Christ and will help you to be a great father. Now, when I say a father, please, I'm not saying that you are a guru that sit on a special chair and have all the answers. All I mean is that you're someone that's willing to take someone's hand and walk with them. And today, I'm not going to keep you busy long, but I'm going to talk about three things that you will face as you grow from being a young man or young woman into a father. Are you with me? Are you ready to take this morning? Number one. You're going to grow through offenses. Let me tell you that. Now, the first a pep talk I had when I became a pastor. I don't know what the church thought. They appointed me when I was 25 and allowed me to preach. Can you believe it? God, grace covers a multitude of sins. I survived and the church survived. And the first pep talk I had from Tiens Jacobs, which was my pastor, was, Varys, in the ministry, jy het 'n dik vel nodig. You need a thick skin. You must be able to absorb some stuff. And at that stage, I didn't know what he was talking about. But looking back now, that is the one conversation that I would never forget. And I'll give you some examples why. I've got a friend, he's a pastor in another church, not a shofar church, and they really believe in the community of the believers, and they really share into one another's life. And so the other day, some of his friends called him in, some of the elders of the church, and here's what they told him. Okay, now if you're a parent, you're going to understand the weight of this a lot better. They call him in, and let's just call him Pity. They say, Pity, you need to bath or shower your child more often and put some deodorant on his body. Now, if you are a parent and someone tells you that, someone can tell you stuff about yourself, but the moment they speak about your kids, it breaks your heart. Do you agree with me? But here's the thing, those guys really love him. But what they didn't know is that this young son actually had a sweat problem. So as he would run around church, he would end up really, really stinking. But now that conversation at the end made them brothers, because he could open up and say, this is my family, this is what we struggle with at the moment. But these are the kind of things you get in church. I had a friend whose friends basically said, listen, you need to sort out your wife. If someone tells you that, it breaks into your spirit. And maybe they were wrong, maybe they were right, but here's the thing. These are the things that happens in church, and these are often the moments. There's a door that goes up, and someone walks out of church and never comes back. Isn't that true? We hear these stories, and I'll tell you what, it happens in every single church. Let me tell you something. If you take your own time. I don't have a lot of slides up, but in Romans 8, it speaks about the Spirit of God that brings us near and makes us sons who cries out, Abba, Father. It makes us family, all right? Brings us into a new family. Firstly, let me tell you what, when you come to church, you've got a whole new family to figure out. Whole new family. There's a new father. There's fathers or someone like Pastor, or some of the elders like Michal, etc., and Yaku, and you will need to understand how they work. You're adopted in a new home. Let me tell you what, the Holy Spirit always brings you into relationship. What does an orphan spirit do? It creates distance. And so when you have these moments, like I mentioned, of confrontation where offense can take place, and an orphan spirit will come from the enemy to create distance between you and your people. And once that happens, and again, you find yourself, you have been orphaned from God's home. And it happens in this stage when you are a young believer turning into a young man, and just before you are a father, he takes you out of God's family, the enemy, through these offenses. And some of them, those people around you were really wrong. They really got it wrong. It happens in church because there's people. Are you with me this morning? I want to prepare you to be in God's house. Listen, this is not a shofar pep talk. Let me just tell you that. If you've got some people here from another church and you're just visiting here, please go back and go for it. All right? This has got nothing to do with shofar. This is about God's house. It's about God wanting fathers. We've got many guys, not many fathers. Amen? The reason this is so important for you, I'm telling you what, God will plan these offenses for you. He's a gentleman like that, I'll tell you. Because when you become a father of a young people, that might be a small group leader for you, that might be an elder. I'll tell you what, those young people that will come to sit under your shadow, one of the greatest things they have to work through is this. so God will take you through it. And once you are there, you will stand. You will be cleansed by this fire. This is not nice. And you will take those young people and you will take them through it. And they will be fathers as well. Be ready if you've not yet been offended. It's coming your way. Amen. Just say to the person sitting next to you, jy gaan nog offended word. I've got a friend on this point. He's a pastor of a big church now. When he was young, someone told him, you'll never be able to lead a church. He's doing great. And I think God planned those moments in his life. Kept his eyes on God and he grew through it. Now he's fathering many people. What is the challenges in your life? Amen? Don't let go. Don't let go. Talking about God's spirit that causes reconciliation, it causes you to go near to people and not be taken away, not create distance. Think about Jesus washing the feet of the very man that would betray him. Thinking of Jesus after Peter denied him 3 times, what did he do? After that, he went and he eliminated the distance between him and Peter. He restored him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Even in offense, he eliminates the distance between you and the offender. Brings you close. Fight for relationship. Amen? Number 2. Grow in. I don't know what to choose, accountability or discipline, but afterwards you can decide for yourself, all right? And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? Here's that family again. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastises every son whom he receives. He said, Lord, I just want to receive your love. Watch out. I just want to feel loved by you. All right? He will correct you. Why? It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Check this out. Proverbs 27. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of the enemy. How often do we want to lend our ears out to those who sing our praises? That can be very dangerous. I want to share a testimony out of my own life. Last year, oh man, Philip, you'll actually still remember it. I went to a little conference that was held in Secunda. My wife was away for the weekend. And it was a conference held by a church, and I thought, you know, this is an amazing opportunity for me just to go and sit in a place where no one knows me. I'm just going to go sit and receive a bit, all right? Because normally at church, I'm always thinking, is the slides on? Is this happening? Is that happening? So I just went and I received, and there was a great talk about from a pastor who listed things that he knows must be in the lives of someone who wants to grow as a leader or grow as someone who ministers to people in the long run. And one of these things was the ability to receive feedback that is hard to hear, all right? And so I thought, Lord, this is so hard for me. So I need to jump into this very quickly. And so I messaged 5 people. Philip was one. I don't know if you even remember. But most of these people were people that worked with me on teams. I was either their leader at Chofa Sekunda running the team, or I was in a team with them. And I asked them, will you give me feedback on my leadership style? Ooh, brutal, I'm telling you. But now here's the thing. The moment you start to give someone a platform to be honest, they will be. Know that, all right? But I never grew as much as I grew October, November, December, January. As I took these feedback to other people and said, this is what they said, you need to help me. I'm not here to defend. If they say it, let's work on it. grow in that. Let's call it, whether it's discipline from God leading you in your quiet time or feedback from people, grow in the ability to absorb negative feedback on your character. You will hear it in church. So here's a tip for you. If you want to be a father or a mother figure in church, you want to be here for the long run, get trustworthy people to talk to you, because someone will. All right? So give the right people the platform and get used to this idea of hearing feedback on yourself. Some of the stuff, some of the information I received back was really hurtful to me personally. But you know what? The very same person almost wrote 100 words before they gave their feedback, just saying, you know, I actually don't want to do this because I really respect you, really honor you. So I knew it came from love. But I grew so much in those 3 months. How do you do with feedback and discipline? Because that's the moment we hear, can you believe what that person? I can do the American woman very good, but I'll just hold back for a moment, okay? Can you believe what that person said? I can't believe they said that about me. You know, those are the kind of things, if you can grow to absorb and actually grow through it, you'll do so well. Amen? Why is this important? Why will God put you through this? Very important. Because He is training you to be a leader and a father, which means you have to reprove someone at some stage. You have to lead someone at some stage. You're going to have to impart into a young disciple's life and say, I don't think this is good for you. I don't want you to do this anymore. And so God is training you to know how it feels. But to receive that takes what? Humility. But when you are a father, you will reprove in humility. If you are an arrogant father that only gives instructions, if you turn around after a time, there will be no one behind you. No one follows a father like that. And so God is busy training your heart. So be broken. If someone gives feedback that's not great, cry about it. Be broken. That's all right. Grow your heart. Widen it. Because you are being taken to the place where you will lead. Reprove and help. Amen? This will happen to you. And God will package it in a way that it will offend you a bit. Maybe Philip just comes walking past you. He doesn't have a time right now to take you to coffee and make sure you're comfortable. He's just going to say, don't do that again. And you think, that's God. He's training you to receive, to open your heart. Amen? Everyone can echo a copper, Philip, so I don't know what that means. Let the discipline of God and the feedback from friends grind you and shape you into being a generous, humble father or mother figure in church. Amen. Number three, this is the hardest one of them all. I don't have all the answers. All I know is this is on the table. How to work with it, I must still grow. But the third one is to grow through suffering. This suffering can come, it can be linked to offenses, it can come through people, or it can just be life. But I remember coming into Shofar as a young man, having, you know, a normal family with mistakes at home, walking into a new family. I experienced this family to be perfect. Fred was preaching on Sundays, or Sias, and it's a big worship team. Now, a lot of the guys that's here today serving in this church was students with me, and we worshiped God, and we experienced Him. And I thought, man, this family is perfect. And then at one stage, you realize, you know, your small group leader, he's got feet of clay. Is that does they use that expression in English as well? Foot of clay. You realize the people around you is just people. There's an incident that happened not long ago where someone I know had a very difficult thing that happened in their marriage. And it's the kind of stuff you're very shy about. And so they went to a trustworthy source. It's another church in Secunda. And the story came out in the whole church. Everyone knew about it. Listen, you might not suffer in your body, but let me tell you what, that suffering was meant to be concealed. It was meant to be confined to a protective relationship. And it came out, and everyone knew what happened in that marriage. If you walk out of church at that moment, I almost want to say, I understand why you do it. But it's these moments of suffering when the enemy opens the door and says, so run. Never come back. But if you can stay and grow through that, what is the father you will become? Amen. I've got a friend, great, great, great friend, loves the Lord. Baby boy gets born, not breathing. Why does it happen? I don't know. But these things happen even to believers. It's those moments when the enemy opens a door and says, run. And when we stay, there's a depth that gets developed in us so deep. Amen? And there's these times when we mature, when Jesus, he just strips away every crutch. And the only thing that's left is him. The only thing. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. How is that a gracious thing? God must show us. But if it's a gracious thing, it means it's a good thing at times if we suffer. And we're going to get some good. Because we sing he's a good, good father, right? Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Here's one thing about suffering in God's kingdom, and we even get this wrong. It's meant to be shared. And sometimes when we experience calamity and something happens, then we feel alone. And I just want to, you know, say sorry if you found yourself alone through a time of this. But here's some advice. If there's no one there, go find the shoulder and put your head down. Go find someone to share with you where you're going through right now. But don't walk out through the door, because God is training you to be a father or a mother or a leadership figure that will know how it feels to be broken. That will know what it means to pray with compassion. To take someone's hand. He is training you. And for those of you that's at this stage going through just really a great time, have your eyes open on your journey to share in those around that suffering. Because your turn is coming. Listen, I'm not preaching doom and gloom. It's definitely the opposite of the prosperity gospel. But this is where we are today. It's talking about becoming a father. Becoming a parent is a difficult process. Stuff happens in families. God needs strong fathers and mothers preparing you for the real world. Amen? When we come in here, God connects with us. It's like we connect in with eternity and we feel relieved, you know. We actually sense just God ministering to our weaknesses. But let me tell you what, he's not taking us out of this world yet. And so we sense the weight of this world on us. So let's share in one another's suffering. Amen? Because tomorrow you will be the one. But these often cause people to fall away from the faith. Blessed... This is it. Just sums it up. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. God of all comfort. How amazing is that? Who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted. For we share abundantly in Christ's suffering. So through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. Isn't that amazing? We are afflicted. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you have experienced when you patiently endure the same sufferings we suffer. If your heart is in God's kingdom for the long run, know this, there will be moments when it feels like suffering is coming against you, affliction. It might be very natural. It might be the death of a parent. These things happen. It happened in our church last week. I don't know how to describe it. Guys are busy on a bachelor's, spending time making poiki. And the gentleman in our church, father, goes to the bathroom, gets a heart attack at his bachelor's. Why do these things happen? It's a broken world. We need to share. Amen? God is preparing a generation that knows how to worship Him when it's plentiful and when we are hungry, when it's going great, when we are suffering. If you want to be a leader and a father, let me tell you what, God is going to put you through the test as well. You guys are going to do great. Amen? So here it is, on the road to fatherhood, grow through offenses. Grow in accountability and grow through suffering. And all of the share. Share with one another. If you feel alone at this moment, don't stay alone. Go find the shoulder. Put your head on it. I need to be strengthened right now. I need to be prayed for right now. God is training you. Let's stand this morning. I just want to pray a prayer. I mean, where you are standing, if you'd be so kind to just close your eyes and just within your heart. I mean, maybe at this moment you are experiencing a one or two of these things all together and you just feel out of your depth. I just want to tell you, you serve the God of all comfort, who is preparing you, shaping you into someone that can change this world. And so I just want to pray for you guys from here. And if you want to just commit just your heart, just your emotions, your life, the position you're at, and say, Lord, I'm in this for the long run. Let me tell you what, you're going to need a lot of grace. And I just want to pray that over your life. Father, I want to pray for every person that's here this morning. And I want to thank you for this church that is shining a light, Lord, in Pretoria, Lord. And this is not a gathering of kids only. It's not a gathering of the spiritual immature jumping up and down. This is where leaders are being trained. This is a training ground. And at times there's a warm feeling of camaraderie, and at times we feel alone. Feels like you're taking us to the edge, Lord. But it's because you're turning this congregation into a congregation that will father the city with love and compassion. And so, Lord, for every heart, I just pray for grace right now. Grace to endure, Lord. Strength to not fall back. Strength when the door goes open, Lord, because of a difficult circumstance. They don't run out, they run to you. Just pray for the Holy Spirit, the one who reconciles, to bring relationships together, not to create distance. But that Spirit that causes us to say, Abba, this is my family, I belong here. Give this process into your hands, Lord. And we thank you for it.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.